In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, beseeching Him, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Confess my sins unto the Lord.
And thou forgivest of my sins.
O Almighty God,
merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?
Thank you.
God, who has prepared for them that love thee such good things as pass man's understanding, pour into our hearts such love toward thee that we, loving thee above all things, may obtain thy promises which exceed all that we can desire. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. The confessional reading this morning from the Augsburg Confession, Article 28 of Ecclesiastical Power. What then are we to think of Sunday and like rites in the house of God? To this we answer that it is lawful for bishops or pastors to make ordinances that things be done orderly in the church, not that thereby we should merit grace or make satisfaction for sins, or that consciences be bound to judge them necessary services, and to think that it is a sin to break them without offense to others. So Paul ordains that women should cover their heads in the congregation, that interpreters be heard in order in the church, and so on. It is proper that the churches should keep such ordinances for the sake of love and tranquility, so far that one do not offend another, that all things be done in the churches in order and without confusion, but so that consciences be not burdened to think that they are necessary to salvation, or to judge that they sin when they break them without offense to others, as no one will say that a woman sins who goes out in public without her head uncovered, with her head uncovered, provided only that no offense be given. So far, our confessional reading. The Old Testament reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 16, reading from verse 14 through verse 21. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be said, the Lord liveth, that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But the Lord liveth, that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from the lands whither he had driven them. And I will bring them again into their land that I gave unto their fathers. Behold, I will send for many fishers, saith the Lord, and they shall fish them, and after I will send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain and from every hill and out of the holes and the rocks. For mine eyes are upon all their ways, that they are not hid from my face, neither is their iniquity hid from mine eyes. And first I will recompense their iniquity and their sin double, because they have defiled my land. They have filled mine inheritance with the carcasses of their detestable and abominable things. O Lord, my strength and my fortress and my refuge in the day of affliction, the Gentiles shall come unto thee from the ends of the earth and shall say, surely our fathers have inherited lies, vanity, and things wherein there is no profit. So shall a man make gods unto himself, and they are no gods. Therefore, behold, I will this once cause them to know, I will cause them to know mine hand and my might, and they shall know that my name is the Lord. Epistle reading from the letter of the Apostle Peter, first letter, chapter 3, verses 8 through 15. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips, that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good, let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and not afraid, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is within you, with meekness and fear. Here ends our epistle reading. And he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a bit from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." And Simon, answering, said unto him, "Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Here ends our reading from the Gospel. We join in confessing together our faith, in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen. morning is the epistle reading from the first letter of the Apostle Peter, chapter 3, verses 8 through 15. Call your attention at this time to verse 15. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. Please be seated. That verse and the theme that I asked Phyllis to print out on our bulletin for today focuses on the word hope. And it seems to me that since the word hope, as it's used there, is a little different than what we're used to, we might give some thought to begin with what we mean by hope and what this means by hope. Back in the 50s or 60s, I don't remember, and I don't remember who the comedian was. I think it might well have been Red Skelton, with one of his many characters he used to play. Those of you who remember Red Skelton. He was portraying the meek door-to-door salesman. Nobody home. Hope. Hope, in our usual use of that, means the results, the thing that we're hoping for, may not, in fact, come about. That's not what the New Testament means by hope, or what the Apostle Peter means by hope in this context. The Apostle Paul explains the difference in Romans chapter 8, where he says, hope that is seen is not hope. What he's saying is, our hope, there's no question, it is ours. It will be ours. We just haven't been able to sense it in the full sense of what we do when we experience things. There's no question about the results in this use of hope. And it's a real theme to Peter's entire letter. The third verse, chapter 1, Peter says this: Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's what Peter is describing. That living hope, and living in that hope, and living out that hope, if you will. In our text, he's talking about our life together in the body of Christ. Being of one mind, compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing. Serving each other, considering the other's needs, wants, and desires above our own. Christ said, love your neighbor as yourself. And there's some guidance here for our life outside the fellowship of Christ, too. As Christ himself says, love your neighbor as yourself. Then comes that section here that Kretzmann, some of you may be familiar with his commentary, there's many volumes of it around out here and in pastor's study. Kretzmann calls half warning and half promise. What Peter has written in verses 10 through 12 are a direct quote from Psalm 34. He says this: For he who would love life and see good days, is that what you want? Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord
is against those who do evil. Pressman's warning in that last phrase.
Neither Peter nor the psalmist are promising wide open promise of health, wealth, and easy living for Christians. That's not what this means. Peter certainly is well aware. In verse 14, right after that, he says, "But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed." Jesus said, "Take up your cross and follow me." We understand, and the Lutheran confessions repeat and describe all over the place, discipline, testing faith to strengthen it. Christ himself says, "Take up your cross and follow me." But God is faithful, says the Apostle Paul, will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But what the psalmist and Peter are talking about here, there are promises in God's word of blessings for those who strive to do God's will. Here's one you should think of, should remember well. "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord God is giving to you." And Paul quotes that in Ephesians chapter 6. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. So, there are those promises of blessings. Call them bonus promises, if you will. I'm reminded, thinking about this, I was reminded of a, well, we're talking 60 years ago, closely. My brother Ron and I were fishing with our pastor in a little pond behind my brother's house. Pastor said, "Ron, why is it that you catch all the fish?" "That's good, clean living." Pastor Ron said, "That might get you fish, but it ain't going to get you into heaven." But what will get you into heaven is what Peter begins this discussion with in his first chapter. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Our living hope is not in ourselves and anything that we can do. It's in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Try as we may, we fail. We fall. We get up, confess our sin, and for the sake of his suffering, death, and resurrection, we are absolved of those sins. He was crucified for our failure. His resurrection shows that his sacrifice and death is acceptable to the Father. He who was delivered up because of our offenses, as Paul says, and was raised because of our justification. Living in that living hope is a confession of the hope that is within us. It is an expression, an explanation, a defense, as that word is translated in two different ways in the two different King James versions we've heard this morning. I don't know if you noticed that, but I thought I might mention that I did that intentionally. Making confession of our faith, defending the faith, explaining the hope that is within you. It's not a matter of cold calling, knocking on doors, and beating people with some evangelism program. It's a matter of living in and with the hope that is ours in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Letting that hope live in you and guide your life is seen, heard by others. It shouts louder than any words you could shout.
And it opens others to hear. Maybe, even as Peter suggests in our text, to ask you to explain the hope
that is in your heart.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his mercy has begotten us again to a living faith through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Amen.
Amen.
And the peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Take off from them the spotted garment of the flesh and of their own righteousness, and adorn them with the garment of the righteousness purchased with thy blood. Strengthen their faith, increase their love and hope, and after this life, grant them a place at thy heavenly table, where they shall eat of the eternal manna and drink of the river of thy pleasure forevermore. Hear us for thine own name's sake. Amen.
Amen.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you for the forgiveness of sin." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sake. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sake. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sake.
Peace of the Lord be with you always. The body of Christ given for you. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sin. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sin. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sin. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission. Take and drink the blood of Christ shed for you. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sin. Take and drink.
true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. Take and drink the blood of Christ, shed for you. The body and blood of our Lord strengthen and keep you steadfast in the one true faith until life everlasting. Go in peace. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given into death for your sin. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given into death for your sin. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given into death for your sin.
Take, drink.
This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins.
Lord Jesus,
is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus
Christ,
shed for you
for the remission of your sins. Take and drink.
Neither cross nor
In faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord. Gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.